When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast, 501's After Show.
You think after 500 we should quit that? Do something different?
I just got it memorized now. Okay. So we probably shouldn't. We can't switch things up too much.
Good. Okay. I'm okay with that. I was thinking earlier today that the graphics, not that there's anything wrong with our graphics for the podcast, but everything could maybe use a little
refresh.
And I'm not going to lie. It took me like I think we've been rolling with these graphics for 200 or 300 episodes.
Okay, yeah.
That sounds like a lot, because it is. Just in general, and it took me a couple of weeks to make these. And I'm not a graphic person.
No.
Not only am I not a graphics person, like graphic design, but I'm not even so much. These are more functional graphics, and even that I'm a little mediocre on. So I'm going to start doing a little bit of research. I wouldn't expect it anytime soon. Maybe we'll try to get it out by like the 10th anniversary.
Ooh.
And then do some things. I've got some ideas in my head for other things, but maybe just in general.
Freshen up the show.
Freshen up this thing a little bit.
Yeah, I'm ready. Ready for it.
Are you ready for that jelly?
Yeah, my boy Jelly Roll. No, I don't know. I don't know Jelly Roll. He's a big deal, though.
That's what I hear.
All right. So a couple of things. Wow. Well, first of all, somehow, if you're new here, welcome. Thanks for joining us. The After Show is an opportunity to talk about either disc golf or maybe more frequently non-disc golf related topics. Could be anything going on in the world, past, present, or future. And like I said, most topics are up for conversation, although we don't often offshoot too far into things like politics or religion. But yeah, so we're here for it. If that includes other sports, other things going on, pop culture, ancient Roman history, I'll just be silent about. But yeah, if you want to jump in on anything, put it in the chat. I'm going to lead with something that's not, at this point, it's certainly not a hot take.
Terry, we're going to label this Terry's cold takes.
Terry's. And what I mean by this is, if I would have just verbalized this 3-ish years ago, it would have been more impactful. What I'm talking about is Harry Mack. I am all in on Harry Mack.
Never heard of him.
No way, shape, or form does that surprise me, or would I expect you to. Harry Mack is so many of our conversations are swayed by our personal algorithms on socials. Harry Mack is a freestyle rapper.
Oh, I think I saw something on, he was on like a talk show. I think I saw
he's
something.
Now he's been on everything. Yeah. Now he's been in MLB locker rooms and NFL, you know, game show or not game shows, halftime type shows. I think he's been on, I think he was on Ellen years ago. He's been on a number of large platforms as well. Socials like your Instagrams and your TikToks and your YouTubes are more commonly where you're finding them versus, you know, even though he's probably, I think, been on like the Today Show. Anyway, he got into my algorithm years ago, which is when I wish I would have mentioned it. He's just so insanely talented. You guys have heard me talk now for many years about how much I appreciate comedy, stand-up comedy, improv, which I took in. I'll take in on any given day of the week that I can, especially when I travel. He's improv comedy in a rap form, musical, lyrical form, and then some. And it feels like right now he is he popping off? Is that what the kids say? I don't know.
I'm sure they don't.
No, but they don't. But anyway, he is hitting hard right now. I don't know if this is a pinnacle or not, but he is definitely now being seen and recognized more than ever before. So I'm sure, as some of you have already even said in the chat, he's on Facebook video. Yep. I just appreciate the hell out of him. He is so damn good.
Okay.
So if you're at all care about, I mean, any kind of, and I'm not, Johnny knows this. I'm not like a hardcore music aficionado or, you know, I'll occasionally find maybe a concert or a performer, but it's not something I actively seek out. I looked into trying to go to one of his concerts last year. He was touring quite a bit last year. I'll just give you the real quick 2 second version. Is his shtick is shtick, if it's that has a negative connotation, which it shouldn't. His talent is largely though that he'll ask for 3 words so that he can freestyle, and then he'll incorporate typically those 3 words. He always says, "Don't give me an animal or any food," because they're just largely been used and played out, and they're too easy, really. Mm-hmm. So he always will ask a crowd or somebody on Omegle or whatever he's on, or even if he's with all these MLB players, he'll ask for anywhere from 3 to 5 to 7 of the most difficult or unique words that you can think of, and then he incorporates them into his freestyle raps. And what so many people love and appreciate about him that are into this is that it's just not like he doesn't say tone, you know, blah, 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 tone, and then the next line just hits with phone because phone was his word. He may go 3 or 4 other different places before getting to the word, and then he will usually dive into that word and then carry it on with a whole bunch of other meanings or entendres or whatever. He's just so insanely talented. And
that's cool.
He's so positive. He doesn't come from like a place of, I'll say, disrespect. And it's not all about like, I don't want to say being lazy and relying on swearing or anything like that. He's just, it's incredible. And to see him,
he's a wordsmith.
Some are saying, like, obviously, like, one of some very well-established people are saying he may be one of the best that we've seen in a freestyle capacity. That's just truly 100% freestyling. And his claim to fame, I think, where he kind of got made his major break, mm-hmm, was on Omegle. And are you familiar with Omegle, what that was?
I don't even know what that is.
That was basically, from my understanding, I was never on it, but you will understand, it basically was like a rebranded chat roulette.
Ah,
so he's just there ready to freestyle. He's sitting there with a really nice mic and set up and everything, because he's going to record it. And then people will randomly pop up, and usually it was a group of people. Sometimes it's an individual. They'll pop up. He'll say, "Hey, give me 3 creative words," and then he'll do a freestyle that's anywhere from like 2 to 5 minutes long. Then he'd record it, and then he'd put it up on his channel, and that's what all helped him blow up. They just closed Omegle. Like, it just shut down in like the last couple of months, which is kind of funny because that was like his number one outlet for a couple of years. And that's really where he kind of came into his own. Anyway,
doesn't sound like he needs it anymore.
That's a great point. But, he no longer needs it. I watched. Do you know who Rick Glassman is? He's a comedian slash actor, I guess. I don't know much about Rick Glassman. He has his own, I think you'll recognize him. He has his own podcast. It's called Take Your Shoes Off. And he just so happened to have, I watched the episode where he recently had Harry Mack on. Again, if you're at all into any kind of comedy slash freestyling, I think it was a full 2 hours. It was really damn funny. Anyway. That's what I can say about it. It was, if you don't know, or if you at all care about freestyle and freestyle rapping and this guy who's going to continue to be this insanely popular guy, Harry Mack is who I'm talking about. Again, I would have looked so much cooler if I would have uttered his name 3 or 4 years ago when I first saw him, but he's been in my algorithm ever since. And now I feel like I can't go anywhere without seeing him in some capacity. Just a genius. Like that. That's how I feel. I feel like he's a genius when it comes to what he does. All right, now we're gonna switch gears. Beer. I got a take or two.
Oh, geez.
Just real quick. I had the opportunity that when I was in, I don't think I talked about this last week. So when I was in Brooksville, I had the opportunity to go into Broad Street Brewing. Brand new brewery, had a good time, met Nick and the owners there. Maybe I talked about that. Great people. They knew Ellen Widboom because they met her like a year or two ago at an art fair. It had nothing to do with beer. It was more at an art fair. And then when we started talking disc golf, they're like, oh yeah, we know Ellen too. Small world. Love it. Right. Of course they had nothing but nice things to say about Ellen Widboom, as everyone should. And when I was there, I had learned that Angry Chair, again, if you're a stout guy or a girl, Angry Chair specializes, and I didn't know this, specializes in stouts. Imperial stouts, double barrel aged imperial stouts, all sorts of different stouts and crazy dessert beers. They're in Tampa. And I'm so mad I ran out of time after I found that out. Things would have been dangerous, maybe. But they're in Tampa, and with that, I had the pleasure, thanks to my friend Nick, who helped me out, I had the pleasure of trying out a few of their beverages that he was able to provide for me that happened that week. And I just wanted to say thank you to Nick. Thank you to Angry Chair. Just some of the greatest, really, really good stouts and beverages that I've ever had. And I'll finish that off, that quick conversation off with, never been impressed with Dragon's Milk. Every one of you that drinks darker beers or imperial or stouts knows what I'm talking about. Never been that impressed with it. In fact, I pass it up all the time. They created, I've now had the 2024 Triple Mash. And that stuff is wild. That's all I'm going to say about it. It happens to come in at 18.7%.
Jeez.
Hey, these aren't my rules. I just play by them.
Wow.
18.7%. Damn, it's good. That's my pick of the week. Dragon's Milk Triple Mash 2024. That's all I got.
All right. Where do I go from there?
I know that's a lot.
That is a lot. This week, my wife and I watched a TV series on HBO Max called The Regime. Stars Kate Winslet.
Do they have any stouts?
I'm sure they do. It stars Kate Winslet.
Okay.
And she plays like a more or less an elected, the head elected official of this small Central European country. Think like an Estonia.
Okay.
And she's a little cuckoo. And it's only 6 episodes. Each one's, just shy of an hour long. Very well done, funny. And just a unique story in general, something you don't see a lot of, like watching how she handles just everything from an attempted coup to like all these things. Very, Very good, well acted. You might enjoy it.
I was just gonna say, is there any other names of people that I would recognize besides Kate?
No.
Okay.
No. There's one woman you would probably recognize, but not know her name. Hold on, I can tell you. She was in The Goonies when we were kids. Mm. The Goonies cast. Martha Plimpton. You never would have guessed her name, but you know who she is. You definitely have seen her in other things because she's
relatively
famous. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you know, other than that, and she plays a very, very small part. Like she's in one episode. But overall, it was a good series. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I don't know if my wife enjoyed it as much as I did.
You binged all six of them? Is it just one season?
It's just one season, and it's only going to be one season.
Okay.
From what I can gather. Okay. It's like just a one-off. It took us a couple days to binge it. I think we watched like one a night or two a night at one time. So overall, enjoyable. I would recommend it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the other things she's been in.
Martha Plimpton?
Yeah. And not...
I mean, probably a lot of stuff you've seen, but
she
just
was great in Frozen too. She looked good there.
But just in general, she's just
I certainly recognize her. I just was trying to think if there's anything else that she's been in. A couple years younger than us.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, everyone's younger than us, Terry.
That's true. All right. I'm going to read a couple things off the board. Dude named Frank Tedesco on YouTube can play any song on request on piano by ear if he doesn't know it.
So it's kind of got almost like a perfect pitch.
Yeah.
And able to a phenomenal memory. And
he used Omegle. Okay.
Yeah. Tim Court says Shogun is good. I've been meaning to kind of try to tune into that. We've kind of run out of things to watch. Hmm. And right now we're watching Top Chef, which is Top Chef Milwaukee. Mm. So, you know, all the beauty shots are everything from our downtown. And there's one chef from Milwaukee and a bunch of people. So it's a lot of like, hey, we're bringing in this week. You need to cook with Door County cherries. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to go do cranberries. I think they're heading to Madison. They did a cheese competition already where they brought in like literally some of the best cheeses in Wisconsin, some of which are world famous in these massive cheese competitions, which I'd love to be a part of. And so they had to make like a cheese dish, and it's just fun because it is Wisconsin and you get to see a lot of the local flavor really highlighted. They did Miller has been featured a few times for the beer. No shock there, but enjoying the first this season of Top Chef Milwaukee.
Huh. Okay.
I think they're actually called Top Chef Wisconsin, but it's based highly out of Milwaukee.
All right. Eric McCabe, I just saw moments ago, posted a little bit of a recap of what took place on behalf of Emporia State. So pretty cool to see. Also saw that in a couple months, our friends over at Bevel celebrating a 5-year.
Wow. It doesn't feel like 5 years, but
no. And coincidentally, I feel like their grand opening was the same weekend as Jonesboro, which obviously it won't be this year, but it was it conflicted with Jonesboro or something like that for their grand opening all those years ago. But anyway, pretty exciting. Yeah. Okay. So they're just having their party a little late because they didn't open in June. Save the date. You can save the date, but they didn't open in June. Something else, this is a very much a sidetrack to that, is they have the gentleman that was Junior's mac and cheese, who makes, imagine this, phenomenal mac and cheese, has found another opportunity where he's taking his food cart or his food truck from Bevel. They have a pod outside of Bevel, which is very popular to go to a lot of these breweries or tap houses, these tap rooms and such, where you go there may be a central place for beer, and then there's anywhere from 1 to 4 or 1 to 5 or 1 to 6 different places to eat, food trucks. And Bevel is the same. You go outside. You obviously, they have the tap room. You have everything inside. When you go outside onto the patio, there are four separate food trucks. And those are usually there for at least a year at a time in terms of a lease. They lease along with Bevel mm-hmm. and lock into a contract for 1 year. Junior's is not at this point moving on or has moved on. And they've brought in another food truck. And this week, it's already there. And so that means that this weekend, somebody's going to have to do my job, and I'm going to have to...
to get the review.
Yeah, and check it out. It's just...
do you know what the new one is, or you're looking for it right now? I'm
looking for it right now. I want to say like something about Southern soul food, something along those lines. And I'm trying to scroll to see if I can find it, but I can't at the moment. But I will find it, and you'll see me probably posting about it this weekend. I'm sure I'll get over there for at least one. Also, I believe there's some... improv or stand-up improv maybe this weekend that I'm going to be able to probably take in for one of the nights.
Over in Bend.
Nice. Which I've done a few other times, but looking forward to it again this upcoming weekend.
Ray asks a question on the board. At what level of play would you call someone out for drinking or smoking during the round? A random draw doubles? C-tier or above? I think sanctioned. If you're breaking sanctioned rules, then you should probably be called out for it. That's kind of, I think, a general good level. A random draw doubles. Because
that's usually where you're officially breaking the rules.
Yeah, you're not.
You may not be able to. You may or may not be able to drink at like a random
public
draw
park.
Non-sanctioned doubles event. You might still be breaking like a club or a county rule at that point. Maybe, maybe not. But you are definitely breaking a PDGA rule if you're drinking at an event that's sanctioned by the PDGA. Now, is that always goofy or awkward? And, you know, how often, and clearly this doesn't excuse it, but how often do you find like the guy, I'm going to be a little bit sexist for a moment or stereotypical, right? Let's be real. It's kind of funny to think about that.
Yeah.
But the guy that's 33 over par round one, he's happy he's 33 over par. He's got no problem with that. He was thinking he would be 43 over par. He finished 33 over par. He may or may not have had 1 to 6 beers during the round. He definitely had 1 to 6 beers during lunch, maybe 6 or 10. And he's planning on another 1 to 6 to 10 during second round. And if he shoots 33 or 53 over, he still doesn't care. He's having a good time. It's kind of crazy how often it's that scenario, right? And then
sure,
you're playing, someone's playing in his division, and they're like, the dude's 44 over par and he's pretty well behaved. Do I care that he's hammered? Do I care that I'm watching him crack his fifth beer? Now, I'm not suggesting that we should feel this way, but that's often, I feel like, what
scenario
unfolds, especially if they're being chill, right? If they're being not harming anybody, so to speak, if they're not being overly loud and obnoxious and crazy and disruptive and all those other things, and then you're clearly whooping them anyway, and they're... I'm just saying, those are the awkward scenarios that I feel like unfold most commonly. And it's never the guy in first.
No.
Almost never the guy that's leading in first place, and I'm going to just say MA1, that's also trying to have 6 beers during the round.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, okay, well, dude, we're on the lead card, and this is obvious what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's...
No.
Right?
Yeah. Me personally, like I said... I lean more toward, if it's a sanctioned event, I tend to say something like, hey, you do something between rounds. Yeah, I'll take that. Post it right on my back. You're drinking between rounds. I got no problem with it. But from the longest time, you and I have always kind of talked and had the same idea of, I don't want to be the guy who could have stopped someone from getting this course pulled. Guess what? Park ranger walks by. This dude's got 2 empties and he's drinking. There's no drinking in the park.
There's definitely no drinking at the sanctioned
event. There's no drinking at the sanctioned event. You know, you don't probably have a license for it. Whatever that is, you know, if it's blatantly obvious, then I'm probably saying something. Now, Am I digging in if there's a suspicion, if he's filled his water bottle with something?
He's filled his apple juice, his prior Dole apple juice bottle with his favorite Pilsner.
I'm not sniffing it. I'm not sniffing it. I'm probably, even if it's heavily suspicioned, I'm probably not saying anything. If it's obvious, I'm saying something. I couldn't not do that. Like, I know there's obviously vaping these days and you can do different things with that. I'm not going to inspect your vape. Like, that's just not my, that's not my thing. But you know, if you spark up a bowl right in front of, like, I'm saying something at that point. Like, I'm sorry, I can't. That's if it's sanctioned. If, again, if we're talking random draw doubles, I don't care. Yeah. Honestly, like, I might say something if I know there's no drinking in the park. Like, hey, man, there's no drinking in this park. But that's because, do I really think the course is going to get pulled? Probably not. Instead, that person's probably just getting a fine if they get busted. But I might still mention something and say, hey, you really want to ruin this for everybody?
So just to throw it out there as this additional scenario, and a lot of people could say, you know, mind your own business. Who cares? It doesn't matter. I can completely subscribe to that. However, I think that one of the challenges that's really, again, goofy in disc golf is you're on chase card. You're playing with an individual that was breaking, we'll say, multiple substance rules. That person goes on to win or to take second and let's just say leapfrog some players on the lead card. Now the whole lead card can and probably will come to you if they've caught wind of this and say, wait a minute, wasn't so-and-so doing this? Like, it just becomes this funny passing of responsibility. And I think a lot of people forget how easily that also does happen. So there's this awkwardness of like what you are or aren't doing about it. And then there's an obligation to the rest of the field and others within the division. And what I thought you were going to say too is, we'll forever have this problem within disc golf is what line do you draw in terms of which rules are okay to break?
Yeah.
Because one could say, hey, I look the other way when someone's had a 12 pack, then somebody else could say, well, cool. Why don't you look away when I foot fault 12 times? You know, when I step on my mini 12 times this round, like, it's always funny when you start getting into tit for tat, whatever you want to call it, but what rules are okay to break and what rules aren't so cool to break. And I think that's just going to continue to be a problem within disc golf forever because everybody comes to the course with a slightly different version of that answer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really, he missed his mini by 1 inch on a 31 foot putt. Versus he missed his mini by 7 inches on a 700-foot fairway throw. Everybody has like a slightly different version of when a rule break matters or doesn't and what it means to them. I'm not claiming I have any answers. I'm just saying those are part of the philosophies that continue to go into it. Like, it's funny how we don't care if somebody's stepping on their mini when they're in 29th place.
Or if they miss the putt.
But we do care if they stepped on their mini for the second time and they're tied with you for second.
Yeah.
Those are all things to consider. Those are all part of our self-governing game and self-policing.
Ray says, there have been European sports monitors do drug testing at events like Sweden or Norway or something like that. I believe for their for some of their events. Yeah, because those are national qualifiers of some sort. I believe it's been a while since I've looked into that and I've heard that story, but yeah, it's no shock that what we're seeing over from the Europeans coming back over here. And granted, this is not a top level problem. You know, I don't care if you're the very bottom of a pro tour event, you're never going to see someone crack open a beer, period. It's just not going to happen. Even
when you're in 109th out of 110.
Exactly. Or even at a Worlds anymore, if you were in the B pool or C pool or whatever that is, not Pro Worlds, maybe Masters Worlds. You never know. But probably not. But still, I mean, again, we're not so concerned about this at the top level, obviously. You know, you're probably looking at more at your, like you said, maybe a C tier. I don't even know if you see it much at a B tier anymore. But I think it depends region, on the B tier.
Region, culture, you know, club atmosphere. There's a lot of things that play into all of that. And that's part of traveling. And I think having experiences and playing in other places is like, oh, that like goes here. You know, you go to a different part of the country that just runs things differently than you. And you're like, oh, okay, that's different how they did that.
Sure.
You know, and it could be in your favor. Maybe it's not, whatever. I feel like that can happen a lot. And that's part of the overall experience, I think, of growing within disc golf.
Well, I'll let you guys know. I'll find out. I'll start drinking on the course this year.
Be wearing a Narc hat. Sponsored by Narc.
Sponsored by Dare.
And we all know that as soon as you do call out a blatant infraction, you're the bad guy.
Sometimes, yeah.
Like 9 times out of 10, you become the snitch, the narc, and the bad guy for someone else who's clearly breaking rules.
Terry?
We're funny that way.
It's not the first time you and I have been in this position.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. Matt says, I remember playing a sanctioned round where we played the first round in the afternoon. The second round was a different course for a glow tournament with a keg for everyone. Yeah. That probably wasn't. No, not if it's a glow. You weren't probably playing in a sanctioned event.
You could be sanctioned stuff like glow event.
You can, but it probably wasn't. You're right. Beer, probably not.
Probably not.
Probably. Again, I think all that's great. It's all about adhering to whatever the local county, city, municipality rules are, and then adhering to. Of course, PDJ rules. A couple other quick things from me is that I officially announced today, for those that are in our area, that I'm not hosting the Skyline Classic as a Wisconsin tour event or potentially even at all this year. And what I mean by that is I have frequently been in April, sometimes May or June, but mostly April in hosting the Skyline Classic for the last 10 or 12 or 15 years, whatever it's been. With waiting on kind of confirmation for my schedule this year of both live and post-production and just being in limbo, quite frankly, of where my schedule's at and my responsibilities and tasks and roles. It's now gotten to a point where I feel like just too late to expect anyone to like take it serious. And especially being part of the Wisconsin tour, I'm not saying I won't host it for sure this year. It could pop up. A, I'll try and give as much time as possible if it does, but B, I don't want it to be part of the Wisconsin tour because that's part of a series in which a lot of people make plans for 6 months or eight months ahead of time. And it's not fair for me to come in this late in the game and say, hey, I'm going to have an event and it's going to count for your overall series points. I don't feel like that's fair to the players. So if it were to happen in any capacity this year, it could be larger or smaller than other years. But even if it were to happen, it will not be a Wisconsin tour event this year. I fully expect to have it on the tour and doing standard things and then some in 2025. I will say also, though, that that brings the other typical annual event that I run, which is Cold Turkey. Right after Thanksgiving, that very much is planned to go down 2 days and 3 days after Thanksgiving, as it has for the last 10 or 12 or 15 years, or actually 17 years now. That is still planning on happening. So just putting it out there, a few of our viewers spill over from the Midwestern areas and some of you come and play. So just letting you guys know that. And also with regard to some... coverage, videos, tournaments. You saw this since last week. I have been releasing all three rounds. I had released all three rounds of Throw Down the Mountain. You now have some time. You have no excuse to not go watch that.
Oh, I've got excuses.
You now have time to go watch all three rounds of the MPO. There was an FPO recap that gave you a few minutes to get caught up on rounds 1 and 2 of the FPO. Tomorrow, by the time you're watching or listening to this, tomorrow you'll see a shot-by-shot full standard coverage of the FPO side to get released as well for their final round. And then at that point, we'll officially have Throw Down the Mountain in the books in a media capacity. You know, and here's what I said on Twitter, and I'll say it again. Sometimes, you've read this, Johnny. You've been part of this.
Uh-oh.
You've maybe even said it.
I probably have said, I've said a lot of dumb things and some smart things. Every once in a while, I throw a smart thing in there.
You and others have said, you know, it'd be great to see like a fresh face once in a while. We see the same household names week in and week out. We see our superstars. Understandably, there are superstars for a reason. I feel like this is an opportunity to go check out some players that are on the come up,
on the cusp.
It was great. It was a great battle over at Throwdown the Mountain. You do have a couple names that you're used to seeing. Thomas Gilbert, Sullivan Tipton come to mind. And then you see Ben Wolf. You all know his brother, Jake. We've seen Ben. You've seen Ben as well. Well, you get to see Ben's wild throws as well.
Did he hit the ground ever on any of them? I've seen him do that once.
No.
When he comes way down and
Spoiler, no, he doesn't. But he throws some incredible shots that cringe a little or shimmy a little because you're like, oh, that looks like that hurts. He's there. Martin J. Neese, of course, plays very well. You'll see him on a couple of the rounds. Again, Sullivan Tipton, Thomas Gilbert. So the coverage is out there, and that's my point, is it gives you a chance because in 5 years, you know what you're going to say? Man, I never heard of this guy. Yeah, you did. He was right here. And I had you.
Again, the person I think of the most right now, Joey Anderson. Like, that is where I first saw him, was Throwdown the Mountain on your coverage. Mm-hmm. And now he is a household name practically. He's been taking top 20s at every one of the Pro Tour events. Mm-hmm. He's just that guy. And
there's your chance is to see players like him, like I said, Sullivan Tipton, who I got to know a lot better last year, who pushed Macbeth all the way to the final couple holes last year.
It's awfully rude of him.
Yeah, he almost pushed him off the mountain. And Macbeth's like, I own this. And he's like, I don't know. Tom comes in with a comment saying the greatest thing about Throwdown the Mountain is the shirt in which he saw, which said, quote, Mark safe from being sued by Paul Macbeth. Yes, that was Charlie Goodpasture. He was celebrating a birthday during that opening round of coverage. He was on our feature card, and Charlie was wearing a shirt that we've seen him offer and sell in a few places. He takes the little blue Facebook flag, and then again on the back it says, marked safe from being sued by Paul Macbeth. And he wore that shirt. So for those that are familiar, of course, with the, you know, Dylan Cease, Paul Macbeth lawsuit along with Trevor over there at Local Route, that was all in that reference.
So a question,
Dylan now at with the Padres,
yeah,
anyway, go on.
Yeah. Philosophical question.
Oh,
disc golf related.
I'm gonna nail this one.
I don't know if you
will. I got the right answer.
Okay,
there's only one right answer, right?
No. Would disc golf, or would people find it more interesting if we had a better or more contentious battle up at the top between two people? We've seen the Paul Rickey. Mm. We saw the Barry Kenny, which was a little less contentious, I feel like, than Paul Rickey or even Paul and Will Schustrick. Like, it always felt like there was always a little bit of beef, a little chip on someone's shoulder between some of these players.
Eventually
at some point. Correct.
At first they used to all hug and be friends.
Let's all get along, give each other a Coke. We don't have that right now, I feel. Not up at the top.
That is outwardly obvious.
Not at the top of the sport, and I feel like in either division. And this was brought about by a Twitter post from Mo, who just made a post in general saying, hey, look at these two players. You've got AB and Gannon. And then there's Gannon being like, yeah, let's go, AB. And how much fun would it be for them to, I don't want to say dislike each other, but have more of a competitive fire between the two of them. And again, I'm not saying they're not competitive. I'm not saying neither want to win, but it does feel like we're at a spot in the sport where everybody's just almost a little too friendly up at the top. And I feel like not that we need it, but that the sport might be a little more engaging if you had a rivalry. What do you think?
I will quickly tap into a very direct response from Thomas Gilbert.
Okay.
Interestingly,
who's enough, my rival, by the way?
Okay.
Not in disc golf. They got to crush me, but somewhere else. I'll find it.
Thomas, when we were at Throwdown the Mountain, Thomas was talking about a number of things. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this because I'm going to. He was talking about a number of things that he's talked about with his sports psychologist, which could probably get into a whole Canadian healthcare. Anyway, that's for another podcast on another day, probably. But he's talking to a sports psychologist. And he was, I think he was at a, I don't want to call it an impasse, but at a point where he was also explaining that Thomas currently travels with and can practice with and eats lunch with and is friends with the people he's actively trying to beat. And his point to that, his sports psychologist person, I don't think was miffed or baffled by it, but was just trying to grasp like where disc golf is, because that feels a little unnatural.
I don't know, because we see in the NBA or even the NFL, after a game, a bunch of players go to the center of the field. They all take a knee. You know, they celebrate. We see players trade jerseys. I don't think it's unheard of. I'm just.
But I think the intimacy in which disc golf currently, largely by necessity, if we're being fair, like a lot of these guys.
For a long time it was.
And even to this day, a lot of these players need to split an Airbnb with three or four other people. Mm-hmm. They're not setting themselves up in a Westin, you know, in a $300 a night hotel room by themselves like the PGA would be doing. So out of sheer necessity, I think that's part of it. That's part of road life. That's part of road bro life, so to speak. Like, again, I think that obviously the friendships are great. It's just kind of funny. And maybe this gets to the whole point. You step on hole one, and Gannon is playing against Alden. They might be best of friends or pretty damn close to besties. They're clearly both trying to still win win that weekend. Mm-hmm. But then after the round, they're hanging out. Then they're traveling to the next event. One relies on the other to get to the next event. You know, somebody once said to me, the pro tip is never bring someone to a tournament with you that's better than you. Just saying. Anyway. And then all this time and then the practice. I thought that was an interesting note that Thomas had then about that his sports psychologist brought up, that just kind of wrapping your head around that. And I just think that's where our sport is right now.
And I think that it's okay to have cliques. I just think that it would be fun if we had two top players, two in the top 10, we'll say, that
actively should they dislike each other?
It wouldn't hurt, but even just it feels like just a little more competitiveness, a little more, just a little bit more of a chip on your shoulder. I want to see a little bit more of someone being.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Competitive and upset when you win. Like, I know it sounds silly. Someone wins, you give them a half-ass handshake after they win. Oh, great, great job. And you walk away. Like, just, I think that there is,
we are like, you don't want Ricky hugging AB after Ricky came up one stroke short of AB at the chess.com.
I think I want to see a little bit more competitive fire after that, because it feels like you lose and guess what? There's next week. I'll beat you next week, buddy. Like we'll get you. And again, it doesn't have to be everybody hates everybody, because I think that would be that would be almost too much. I think we need, as someone said, we need more characters on the course. And I think we have some really good characters. I just think the sport is missing a really good rivalry. And I only bring up AB and Gannon because they are like our two top players this year. Mm-hmm. And would it hurt the sport if one of them was the heel, so to speak, if one of them, you know, if AB kind of had an attitude towards Gannon a little bit, like, yeah, cool. Yeah. I'll beat you again next week, buddy. See you there, and walk away. Like, I don't want him to be a jerk, but
no, that's where it's a fine line.
It's 100% a fine line.
Cause they all have their fire. I just think they're learning how to compartmentalize it and say like, hey, this Ricky not winning chess.com doesn't define him as a player. It, I don't want to say he was just an elite event, but it's an elite level event. He came up short. He didn't play his best golf, and he's respecting that AB did that weekend. I don't know. The short answer to you is I don't mind where we're at.
I don't want to say help, because I don't think a rivalry is going to necessarily like drum up outside interest. That's kind of how I consider help. Like, is it going to help the sport? Is it going to, you know, is a sponsor going to see this rivalry? No.
Yeah, I feel like two people need to dominate with it. Those two need to exclusively then, so to speak, dominate.
Yeah.
Where then a rivalry helps and or it matters.
Because I look at
you look at Ricky and Paul.
They were the 1-2.
Exactly.
And that's why AB Gannon right now are kind of the 1-2. You still have Calvin in there. Nicholas is showing up. Like I'm missing the rivalry right now in our sport. I love to cheer for great play. I love to see awesome, you know, friendly players, and the following them on social media. It's all great. I just feel like they're like, you know, we could have, and again, like you're right. I don't want to see a rivalry between 21st and 25th. Like, oh, I got you this week. Like, no one cares, dude. Congratulations.
I guess it's just a funny line for me of where does,
I want to see a little more spitfire.
Yeah. I was going to say like overt disrespect / like jerkish behavior. Where does that start and stop versus a rivalry?
I don't want anyone to be mean or disrespectful, so to speak, but I feel like we're missing a good rivalry. I feel like we're missing a little bit of fire in some players after the fact. It just feels like everyone's so happy.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're being gracious losers.
You can be a gracious loser and still, you know, I don't know. I feel like we're, yeah. Yeah. It's the Detroit Pistons versus the world, you know, the bad boys of the NBA.
Yeah. Just
I want to see a
hacking away.
I want to see Calvin Heinberg pull a Bill Lane beer and just elbow someone in the face. You know, oh, I'm sorry. I was pulling through here and I caught you right in the mouth.
Yeah. I just, maybe they're friendlier because they're sharing spaces. They're sharing friends. They're sharing other resources. They're going to be playing together the very next weekend on a featured or a lead card. I don't know how that's achieved without some just outright dickish behavior.
It would be tough. Honestly, it would be tough, but I think that it would definitely add some interest in particular players overall. But again, they have to be top players. You can't, No one cares if the guy who's in 21st is a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, then you just look like a loser.
You're just a sore loser,
you know, but you know what, if you know, when Ricky slams that 50-foot putt in Calvin's face to win an event, and Calvin walks right up to him and you know, and Calvin visibly just doesn't, And Calvin never looks affected, but in general, Calvin's smiling still. I don't want to see that, man. I want to see it affect him a little bit. And that's, and I'm just making up scenarios there. Clearly. I mean, I think,
everyone, well, I mean, it's funny. Cause think back to, we had an entire conversation with Ricky after he threw it inbounds on 18 at Smuggler's Notch, mm-hmm. and Chris Dickerson yet had to tee, 2 years ago?
Sure.
Right. And he kind of was like half Raptor legging down the fairway after getting inbounds, seemingly, you know, icing the event. And there was, we all had a very much a conversation about that. And you're just looking at a very, very different set of personalities too. Like, talk about contrasting personalities. I don't know if there's anything in the world that could happen for Chris Dickerson to pull the equivalent of a Raptor leg, whatever that might be. Could you imagine? Could you imagine Chris Dickerson doing something that rivals a Raptor legs? Like, first of all, what would it be? And funny, how out of character would that be for Chris Dickerson? It's just not his character.
No, it's not his character. I'm trying to think of like what a Dickerson celebration would be. Like, I see him. He's known. No, I'm like, I'm truly trying to think of something like him in like a really excited, maybe. You know, Tiger had the fist pump. Ricky's got the Raptor legs. Paul kind of has like a fist pump as well when he hits a big one. I think of like the world's putts and like the USDGC putt. Like, I could see Dickerson two hands up, like two fists up, like, and storming one in after like a 60 or 70 foot putt. I can't either, to be honest, but that's what that's as much as I can envision.
Yeah, we need a Dickerson celebration.
Yeah.
We need a walk-off eagle on the 18th at a major this year from Dickerson.
This is the Dickerson. I've already got it. Just the
slow walk.
After you throw, the turn around and look at your opponent. He did it on the blind ace
where?
It was a practice round that he was doing with.
Yeah, but that's a different Dickerson.
It was much more fun. I can't believe I'm drawing.
Practice Dick is different.
Practice Dick is different. He did it to Melton, which they're good buddies, obviously.
Exactly.
And so he throws it. It's not even to the basket. It's like halfway down the fairway. He turns around and just like, and they knew it was in, which that's what I want to see from Dickerson on the course. Like, that would be his celebration. Just the cold turn around and look at the opponent. After you throw it,
Ray says it. The chicker said, "Is he walking around clucking?"
No, like,
since he loves chicken so much, just a like, just an absolute like, cluck,
moving his head like a chicken, just back and forth, just, like strutting,
clucking around, strutting. Oh my god,
the arms! Like,
it'd be so on brand with how much he loves chicken.
I think yes, Ray, you nailed it right
Dickerson, see Dick. We need to make this happen. Yes.
The Chickerson. Strut.
Strut, yeah. The Chickerson winning strut. Something. Mm. That's what we need.
We got it.
All right. Sam says, Cat versus Paige was awesome. It was more than on course, and their personal lives have come out over the years and only show the hate is real. As a guy who's been there literally from day one, mm-hmm. they've gone through a lot of different stages. Some have been, lack of a better term, uglier than other stages. I'm not going to speak really to where it's at. I feel like they're on fine terms right now. But there have been stages of that relationship, to very close to very not close, spanning these last 13, 14, 15 years, whatever it's been now. And it's been a wild ride, honestly. I mean, you guys have seen both of them in press conferences now. You've seen them both perform. You've seen them both at their highs. Well, some of you have seen them at their highs. And now we've seen them both at some of their lows. And it's been honestly, it's been a wild ride. And they have been this wild rivalry, because there was a genuine personal distaste for one another at one point in time. And when I think of a rivalry, and again, that's why I said it earlier, it feels like so much of it, something like personal or or yeah, something personal almost needs to happen in order for this to get sparked up. And whatever it was for them, it happened, and that, you know, that was part of it, or things continued or whatever.
I don't think so. I think just having a little bit of an attitude on the course can rub someone the wrong way. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah. I just worry that with an AB and a, specifically we'll use an AB and a Gannon here. Hmm. I think they just both know that on any given day, one's going to best the other, and then the other turns around and can best them. And it's almost tough to get cocky in that sense.
Unless
you truly do dominate them, you know, for some extended period of time, it's tough to get cocky because I feel like, well, yeah, next week, great. AB beat, you know, Gannon by four. The next week, Gannon beats AB by five. I mean,
it was different when Paul was dominating. Like when Paul was rattling off, you know, the majors and getting all of the world's wins, like it was easier for opponents to dislike that. I know Paul, I can't see someone disliking him. Like he seems like a friendly guy, and I've chatted with him, and same with Ricky. But I know that there was, and maybe still is, a little bit of chip on your shoulder towards the other guy. And it's a little different now because Paul hasn't been performing this year. Ricky is still near the top of the game. Now, again, I have no clue what's going to happen with Paul. He could come out next at Jonesboro and take third place or first place. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I would like a rivalry of some sort up at the top of our sport. Just someone.
Maybe I'm just too Midwest nice. I don't know that I'm not too concerned about it. The other thing is,
to me, it makes it a little more fun.
But a lot of these players are also pull their own fan base in for their own reasons anyway. Mm-hmm. And that, in a sense, maybe it's just a quieter rivalry, but they pull in their own fan base and have their own.
There's fan rivalries, but that's like, it's not the same as an on-course rivalry. Cool. Guess what? Packer fans really dislike Bear fans. Great. You know what's fun? When Aaron Rodgers scores a touchdown, gives the belt to the Bears and says, "I own you." Mm. Like, to me, that
all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. That was exciting. And again, it helped that the Packers for the last 20 years have crushed the Bears. And that could flip in a year or two. You know, anything can happen with a draft. I doubt it. Bears fans, come on.
Let's be real.
Come on, please. But we'll play imaginary.
Unless you
world
bought
here.
That lottery ticket in Oregon, shut up.
Yeah. Let's just we'll play along here. That could, you know, it's sports. That could flip. Look at the Patriots, who were dominant for so many years, and now are a mediocre team. And every fan base on the East Coast still enjoys kicking the Patriots' ass.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, you know, I don't know. Maybe Eagle comes in and just starts dominating and gets to be.
We know what kind of jerk he is. So
we can make it.
Maybe we got too many nice guys.
We'll spread.
I mean, look at that prick, Kyle Klein. I mean,
let's start spreading rumors. Let's just be
too late. I've been doing that for a decade.
But just behind backs.
All right. We got our boy Brad Clayton out there acting like an idiot as usual. Good to see you, Brad. Calling for boycott PDGA. Good for you.
Boycott DGPT.
Go for it. Let us know how that works out for you.
Yep.
So we have nothing to talk about week in and week out. Would that be the solution? Ray says, speaking of Brody, he did a 1,000 putt stream. Any guess how long it took? Nah, honestly, no idea.
He says just over 3 hours. For a thousand made putts.
To show you how little I practice putt, I was going to say, I wouldn't even have a guess. But okay. I'm going to guess. Well, I have no idea the distance.
Yeah.
I'd guess he was probably in the 80-ish percentile, 80 to 85 percentile, depending on the length at which he was at. So I'm trying to do the math of how many putts that equals. Yeah. I mean, okay.
Here's the dumbest take of the night.
Oh, God.
The DGPT intentionally suppresses disc golf with a paywall so they don't have to face competition from large corporations. From Brad Clayton.
Oh, Brad, you want to know how dumb that is? Let me just tell you this. If they're suppressing disc golf with a paywall and to avoid competition, how about this? Well, first of all, that means it's working, they're growing disc golf, because otherwise, don't you think somebody would go out and do it for free? Because you just said they're suppressing disc golf growth by having the paywall and to squash competition. If that's such a dumb idea,
yeah,
why don't you go out and do it for free? Because then, if per your logic, free should supersede and overtake the paid option.
NCAA is suppressing men's basketball Final Four because it was on cable, which is technically a paywall.
Yeah.
I didn't want, I couldn't watch it.
Well, you could, but
I didn't, I don't have cable, Terry. I'd have to pay for that.
I know. Anyway, yeah, we obviously this conversation, is one take though that I feel like
I've heard,
obviously we see it all the time.
I've heard it before. Yeah.
And I just don't think it's going to go anywhere is the, and I finally got good at skipping it.
Free.
Finally.
Everybody finally. Like everybody thinks free is better. Free will bring in so many people and free will, then once so many people are in, you'll have all these sponsors that really want to pay us a ton of money. And I look at it and go, cool. We're still free on YouTube every Friday or whatever, every first day of the event.
And go start one for free.
And we're not seeing the huge influx on that day.
Go start your free product or service. Just go start it, whatever it is, whether it's live disc golf.
It was free for a long time, too.
Or anything. Just go start it.
I think all
sandwiches should be free. And then once you get enough people coming in, getting free sandwiches, then you'll start making a ton of money.
Then you can have advertisers advertise at your restaurant and say, hey, thanks for the free sandwich from.
Okay. Yeah. That's
AT&T. AT&T is paying for your free sandwich.
I just, and my analogy may be stupid, but point is
it is, but that's okay.
The point being, I'm sorry. I get it. You may not like paying for it and that's fine, but just to claim that somebody should be providing a product or service for you for free, because you think you know what the business model is. My best solution, rather than just saying suck it up or cry about it, my best solution is to say, just go do that yourself. Like that's obviously the right answer is if it is that easy and your business model is so much brighter and more brilliant and lucrative, then I would suggest that you go do that.
And there's a lot of free, we talked about this last week. There's a lot of free disc golf events out there. They're not all broadcast. But there's tons of A tiers.
Yeah.
Anyway, good. So
go take it in.
Something that's not free. Well, actually it is. If you really want to enter patreon.com/smashboxtv, you can be a Patreon supporter of Smashbox TV and you get entered into our weekly giveaway. You can enter the weekly giveaway for free if you go to smashbox.tv/weekly-giveaways. Weekly giveaways.
But why would you do that?
Well, if you want to enter and you want to put it in every single week, you can do that. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of time when you could just, you know, sign up on Patreon and then you're automatically submitted. We have 133 people eligible for our giveaway this week. Terry, we're going to give away some plastic.
I like it.
Right out of your bag. I'm going to steal it. Don't tell anybody. Okay. Don't tell you. This week I sorted it by total donation to Smashbox.
Damn. Yep.
So the people, so who,
some people we like more than others on this list.
Oh, that's right.
We like you all.
We love them all. We love them all. But the people who signed up for the free weekly giveaways are at the very top of the list. As you scroll down the list, that's when, you know, people who've probably been supporters longer. We have 133.
And or have deeper pockets.
And or have deeper pockets. We
love you.
I love deep pockets. 133 people, Terry. What number should we draw tonight?
Huh, that's a good question. Tomorrow, round three drops of the Throw Down the Mountain 12. Let's go with the third number.
All right, our third number. Our first number is 89. Our second number is 69.
Make it 133.
I was going to say 49? Go down by 20?
No, I want it. Oh, the deeper, the better.
All right. And our third and final number is 55. Ooh-wee. 55.
Some support. 55. We appreciate each and every one of you.
Support is Tim Glass. So Tim Glass has been a Patreon supporter since January of 2019.
Damn.
So thank you, Tim Glass.
Wow. Thank you so much, Tim. Appreciate it.
Much appreciated.
Wow. Last week's winner was just one off of that number. How funny.
Who was that? That was
Tig.
All right.
I think that was last week. Either way, one off. That was a winner from a few weeks ago. So thank you. Anyway, awesome. Well, thank you. I rounded up a handful more discs that I can turn around and get shipped out. So thank you guys so much for the support. We appreciate it over here on Smashbox. And this is probably obvious if you don't know, but some people don't know. If you do need boxes to ship discs in, I'm your guy.
Your disc in a box, huh?
My disc in a box is your disc shipping solution. I don't buy those from like another disc manufacturer or somewhere else. Like, I have those made and then I package them up and then I ship them out. Like, I'm the guy. I don't physically make the boxes. I'm just the very next step. I pick them up from the people that make the boxes. I box them and then I ship them out. Some people think I'm like whole or retailer of somebody else's. No, those are like, that's my product. And so if you've received a disc in a box and it was like a one disc shipment and it wasn't flimsy and cheap and crappy, like some of the manufacturers send out, it probably was one of my boxes.
Hot take.
Some people have said that. And that's the only reason why I confidently can say that. Somebody recently posted and said, shipping in a box does nothing. They're flimsy pieces of crap.
Terry's like, not my box.
No, somebody else jumped in and said, they are from this, and that manufacturer. If you get boxes from Terry, those are not flimsy pieces of crap, and they truly protect your desk. I was like, wow, thanks. Like, that was, I didn't pay for that plug. That was, I very much appreciated that. So thank you guys. So if you need boxes, most people get them in 100 count cartons, because that's the most economical for me to get them to you. I can ship them in a 50 count, but it's going to cost you a little more per box because of the dimensional weight shipping, all this other stuff. Get 100. And I also offer up 2 mil and 4 mil bags. So when a bag is there to protect your disc, yeah, I've got those that are perfectly.
Darren X says, I can confirm Terry's box is very good. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. He says Terry's boxes are very good.
I got the boxes. And if you like them, I got more. Speaking of shipping, sat on the line with UPS customer service yesterday, good 20 minutes of my life, just to get to customer service and say, hey, you know this $300 international bill? I didn't send anything. That ain't me. I disputed this back in January when I landed in Thailand, and all of a sudden I get a bill from UPS through my billing account. It says, hey, you shipped something. I'm like, oh, man, something, da-da-da-da. Download the bill first. I thought it was a phishing scam, which UPS phishing scams have gotten way worse. If you don't already know, be very careful if you're getting anything from UPS these days. People are really perfecting their spam.
Thanks, AI.
Yeah, exactly.
And Obama.
But and Reagan. And so but anyway, so I remember I was in Thailand and I disputed this. And first I had to get into my account, which was tough because I was in Thailand. And they're like, is this really you? I'm like, damn it, at this time it is. So anyway, I disputed it. They little did I know, they denied my dispute. And somehow they think I still ship some crazy size box to like Great Britain when I was conveniently already out of the country, which makes it even a funnier story. Anyway, I got nowhere. And hopefully in the next calls with the fraud department to again inform them, I didn't make this $300 shipment, because now I'm getting billed for being late on the payment for the fake shipment that didn't happen.
That's a rough one, Terry.
I tell ya. Anyway, Brad says, I would not in a million years do business with Brad, but he says, does anyone want to buy 3,000 discs?
It's a lot of discs.
It is. I wouldn't do it. I mean, not, Brad, not that I think you're a stand-up human, because your presence online shows that you're not. But, yeah, I would not enter into that deal with you at all. And I would not highly recommend or at all recommend anyone else does the same.
Let's wrap it up,
good
Terry.
Good luck to you.
Let's wrap it up.
All right. I guess we've had enough. I was going to chat with Brad for a little while.
Mm. We're good.
thank you guys for joining us. Hope you learned something tonight. Maybe in the regular show, maybe in the after show. It doesn't matter. But we hope you joined us or learned something. This weekend, Jonesboro. Be there.
Watch.
Watch. Disc Golf Network has the Jonesboro action. And excited to be out in Bend. I'll let you know how the new food truck goes, because, again, that's what I do. For Johnny V, I'm the Disc Golf Guy. That's 501 after show for Smashbox TV. That's our podcast. We'll see you next week. You step inside the Smashbox. Bye.
Oh. Adios.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.